Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Tzadi Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Ches. The topic that we will discuss concerns a person that had set aside a Korban Pesach, but unfortunately died before being able to offer it. Hamafrish Pischo v'chule. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. Hamafrish is Pischo, umay, someone mafrishes to set aside his Korban Pesach, but he died before offering it. Im benoi memuna imoi, if his son had been appointed to be a part of the group eating that, yivienu l'shum Pesach. So, his son will bring that animal as a Korban Pesach. However, ein beno memuna imoi, if the son was not appointed to the group for that Korban Pesach, and it's now left with a situation where the owner has died, so it cannot be brought. So yivienu l'shum shlomim l'shisha asar, it's then brought as a korban shlomim on the 16th of Nisan. The 16th of Nisan is the first day of Chol Hamoed. So the Gemara points out l'shisha asar in the 16th, yes l'tes vav loy, but it cannot be brought on Yom Tov. What are we saying? That the animal cannot be brought as a shlomim sacrifice on Yom Tov. Kosovar, this opinion reflected in this Tanaic source holds that nedarim unedavos ein kraven b'Yom Tov, that voluntary offerings, even those offerings that the owner would be eating from, they are not to be brought on Yom Tov. And that itself is a point of discussion that one finds in other Masechtos. So here we have a Tanaic source reflecting that they are not, these voluntary offerings are not to be brought on Yom Tov. In other words, even though Yom Tov is a day on which certain kinds of korbanos are brought, those are holiday-related korbanos, but voluntary offerings are not holiday-related. Therefore, they are forbidden to be brought on Yom Tov, as it's understood. Yom Tov is a day that is in like Shabbos in the sense that it is restricted from the lamites of its malachas with certain food exceptions. But nedarim and nedavos don't fall under that category. The Gemara now asks, regarding the father's death, demis ho'av emas, when did the father die? Mis means dying. So when did the father die? I lemo demis koidem chatzois. If you're going to say that the father died before midday. So the source said that if the son is a part of the group for of that Korban Pesach, so the son can bring it as the Korban Pesach. So beno menemuna imoy yevienu l'shum Pesach, if the son had been appointed to it together with his father to participate in that animal as their Korban Pesach, can he really bring it? Ha chola aninus iluya meikara. Aninus is a state whereby a close relative dies, and someone who has an onane is not allowed to bring sacrifices. He can't bring them, he can't eat from sacrifices. So has he not entered the aninus state before the Pesach obligation set upon him? So how can the son bring it as a Korban Pesach when he is an onane, and as such, he is not obligated in bringing the Korban Pesach? The Rashi points out, underneath the Gemara text, on the third of the widest lines, Inem of the Mis Koidem Chatzos, Rashi says, Uboi Bayoim, on that very day of the 14th of Nisan, Hochal Aninus Olei Beresha, first, there sets upon him, before the Pesach obligation, there sets upon him the Aninus state. And at that point then, the obligation of bringing the Korban Pesach no longer sets in Kiddushin as it has been taught. The kulon ain shochtem alem b'fnei atzmon. If you're the sole owner, as would be the case over here, where the father died, leaving just the son, the owner, he can't bring it on his own. Masnisin katoni yivienu demashma hu atzmo. The Tanaic source that says yivienu means he brings it. Sounds like he brings it on his own, but that can't be if he first became an onain. Let's continue in the Gemara. The next underline you can see elo, second stage of analysis, elo demis achar chatzos. It must be that the father had died after midday, and at that point then at midday the Pesach obligation sets upon everybody. So it said ein benoi mimuna imoi yivienu lishum shlomim, that if the son was not appointed to it, so then the animal is brought as a shlomim sacrifice, we said on the 16th. But how can that be? Ha kovate chatzos. But the chatzos point in time, that midday mark, established that the animal is a korban pesach. And as such, it's then pushed away, it's nidche, from being a shlomim. So how can you say that this animal can be brought as a shlomim when it has been established to be a korban pesach? And as Rashi points out, a pesach that is there at chatzos and it's not going to be brought, so then it is the halachic ruling that applies is yireh. It's sent out to graze until it develops a blemish, but it itself cannot be brought. Just to review that point, that if you had something that was standing there as a korban pesach and it is not brought, it's tantamount to it being rejected, and an animal that's rejected is no longer itself brought as a sacrifice. But rather only its money value. After the animal develops a blemish, the money that you get in selling the animal is used for purchasing sacrifices. So we're not clear right now on the circumstances of the source and its resultant halachas. The Gemara answers, as you can see, that was the end of a long question. Omar Rabba, the triangles that you see are explained on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is a topic heading with a structural note. The triangles represent five hezberim la Mishneh beinyan hamafresh es pischo meis, where five explanations regarding the source. So let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rabba, li'oilom demis koidem chatzois. The circumstances are that the father died before Chatzos. Umay yivienu l'shum Pesach. What do you mean when you say bring it as a Pesach? It means l'shum Pesach sheni. It'll be brought during the makeup Pesach. That animal, assuming it doesn't go over a year in age, will be brought on the 14th of Iyar, which is when this son will be able to bring his korban Pesach. Abaye Omar. Abaye has an innovative response, and he says litzdovin kotoni. The source is really talking, litzdovin means two separate sides. The word stovin is the plural of the word tzad. Tzad means sides. It's two separate cases are reflected in the source, and let's now read his understanding of the source that we see in the frame. Number one, meis achar chatzois. If the father died after chatzois, beno mimuna imo, if the son had been appointed to it, Yivienu l'shum Pesach, then it will be brought as a korban Pesach, because the Pesach obligation had set upon this son, because at Chatzos the father was still alive and the son had been appointed to it, so the Pesach obligation sets in first, so it can be brought as a korban Pesach. Meis koidem Chatzos ein beno mimuna imo, if the father died before Chatzos and the son had not been appointed to it, so yivienu l'shum shlomim, then it will be brought as a shlomim. Now, since the father died before Chatzos and the son was not participant in it, so the shame Pesach never be, was chal on it. Let's take a look at the Rashi and the wide lines, almost halfway down. Meis kodem chatzos v'ein beno nimne imoy yivenu l'shem shlomim. If the father died before midday and the son was not a participant in the animal, it can be brought as shlomim. Delo kavate chatzos, because chatzos didn't have the power of establishing it, of locking it into the Pesach state. Essentially, you have an animal that was unowned at that point, and therefore Chatzos could not have established it as a Pesach. A Pesach is only that which is owned. Ve'im beno nimne imoy, if the son had been appointed to it, then lo itzrich l'yurei bo midi. It's obvious, so to speak. L'yurei means we don't have to teach you anything about that. The vaday mikra of the Pesach Sheni. In that case, where the father had died before Chatzos and the son was an owner in it, or was a member of that unit for eating the Korban Pesach, so then it would be clearly brought as a Pesach Sheni. And the make of Pesach on the 14th of Iyar Vashmina Minah, we learn from here the hecha the chal oleich yuva Pesach Bereisha. What we learn from this is that where the father died after Chatzos, and that the Pesach obligation set in first, because at midday that's when Pesach obligation sets in, shochten alav, then it will be offered on behalf of that son who was a, if he was a member, to be eaten at night. And that's a topic that we've learned about in the past. Let's continue now with the answers to understanding the source above. Number 3, Rav Shravi Omar li oilom demis la'achar chatzois. The father died after midday. Ukedoin shehoya oviv goiseis bechatzos. At midday, the father was in goiseis status. A goiseis is in the throes of death. In order to appreciate this, we must look at the Rashi. We'll read the Rashi. Shehoya oviv goiseis bechatzos umeis la'achar chatzos, and he actually died after midday. Then we say as follows: A aleph benoi nimne imoi. If the son was appointed together with the father on that korban pesach, ivenu l'shem pesach, it will be brought as a korban pesach on that day, on the 14th of Nisan. The chal olei chiyuvo the pesach bereishis, because the pesach obligation set in first. So other people will bring it on his behalf, and at night he'll be able to eat from it. Ein beno nimne imoi, if the son wasn't appointed to it, yivienu l'shem shlomim. Now here's the key thing: the kevan de bechatzos goiseis, since at midday the father was already in the throes of death, v'roiv goisesim lamisa, and we know the majority of those that are in that state do die. Lo kavate chatzos. That's the key thing: the chatzos did not establish it as a Korban Pesach, and being that it wasn't established as a Korban Pesach, the animal itself is able to be brought as a Shlomim. It doesn't experience Dechiya. Approach number 4, Rav Ashi Omer Le'olam Demis La'achar Chatzos, where the case is the father died after midday, and if that's, then you'll ask, well, if that's the case, how can the animal be brought as a shlomim? Was it not established as a Pesach ad chatzois? And once it's established as a Pesach, if the animal is not going to be brought as a Pesach, that would be tantamount to dechiyah. And if it's dechiyah means being pushed away, and the result of that is it's not to be able to be offered as an animal as a sacrifice itself. Only its money value after it develops a blemish will be able to be offered. For Rabbi Shimon he. And yet we're saying it is offered as a shlomim. The Omar ein balei chayim nidchem, because as we've learned in the past, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is such that an animal, a living animal, isn't subject to being rejected. Ravina Omar, a fifth approach, kagon shifrisho achar chatzos umesu bailim achar chatzos v'kosover chatzos kova. Let's take a look at Rashi to appreciate this. The Rashi, Hochi Garsin Ravina Omar, Kegoin Shefisho Achar Chatzos, where the animal was established, was set aside after midday, was dedicated as a Korban Pesach after midday, Umei Subailov Achar Chatzos, and the owner died likewise after midday. Veno Nimne Imoi, if the son was a was appointed to it with his father, even l'shem Pesach, it can be brought as a korban Pesach, the chiyuv of the Pesach chayla bereisha, because the Pesach obligation set in before the aninus, state on regarding the son. Ein beno nimna imo, if the son was not appointed to it, yivienu l'shlamim, it's brought as a korban shlamim. They came in the bechatzos adayin lo hufrush. And here is so, this is so interesting, since at when the clock struck 12 at that midday point, it wasn't set aside as a Pesach. Ein kan keva lidchois, the establishing of it as a korban Pesach did not set in, because sabar tana didan, this Tanaic source is of the opinion chatzos koveya, so that midday is the establishing point, the local sharzman shrita, and the rest of the time that's available for slaughtering is not that which establishes it. So if at midday it hadn't been earmarked yet as a Pesach, so the koveya, the establishing phenomenon, did not have on what to take effect. Therefore, since it wasn't established as a Pesach, so then when it's not brought as a Pesach, it can in fact be brought as a Shlomim. Now, as we went through this Gemara, it's important, if you were a first-time listener, then it may have been a very difficult Gemara. We were assuming prior knowledge. So I hope that that none of you were a first-time listener for this particular daf, and were able to appreciate it based on the information we had learned in previous sugyas. We continue now with a new Mishnah, and here we're in the topic here involves a Pesach that gets mixed up with other sacrifices, and I can't identify which is which. A Pesach shenisarev bezvochim. Kulon yiru ad shistavu, a korban Pesach had got mixed up with two other animals, with a korban osham and a korban oila. These are all animals that are within a year of age. We'll say they're all male animals, so you can't identify which is which. So the Mishnah says they all are set out to graze. Until they develop a blemish, the mochru, and they can at that point be sold, an animal prior to a sacrifice animal. An animal dedicated or sanctified as a sacrifice cannot be sold unless it develops a blemish. So after it develops a blemish, they're sold. V'yovi b'dumei ha'yofa shibahen mimin zeh, u'dumei ha'yofa shibahen mimin zeh, v'yafsid ha'moysom ribeso. And being that he's now sold all three animals, the animals, each one is probably of a different value. So there's the highest priced, the most expensive or most valuable of these animals is you note the amount you got for it. So if you had three animals, one was worth $100, one was worth $90, and one was worth $80, the $100 animal sets the standard, and that means that I take $100 and I have to buy a korban Pesach for $100, because maybe the $100 animal was the Pesach one. I have to spend $100 for a korban osham, because maybe the korban osham was the $100 animal. After all, they all got mixed up. And I have to spend $100 to buy an ola now. Maybe the $100 animal was the ola. Now, I then have to lay out in our example $300. How much money did I fetch for these animals when I sold them? Well, in effect, I fetched $270, because $100 plus $90 is $190 plus $80 is $270. But in effect, I'm going to have to spend $300. So that $30 extra is what the Mishnah says, v'yafsid ha-moysor mi-beso. The extra amount I have to lay out from, I have to out of pocket. I have to spend that from my own money. Nisarev b'vechoros. Let's say a Korban Pesach got mixed up with firstborn male animals. A firstborn male animal is brought as a sacrifice. It's given to a Kohen, and he brings it as a sacrifice. Now, here the important thing to know is that unlike other sacrifices, a firstborn male, a Bechor, is something that has no redemption possibility. So what do you do now? So Nisar b'vechoros, Reb Shimon Omer, im chaburos kohanim yochlu. If the chabura, the group of people that were appointed to eat the korban Pesach were kohanim, and now and the bechor is the one is given to a kohen. So let's say I have two animals, one is a bechor and one is a Pesach. I don't know which one is which. So they will be slaughtered and they can be eaten, because in this case, whether it's a Pesach or whether it's a Bechor, it can be eaten because the owners are Kohanim. We look at the Rashi toward the bottom. Nisarev b'vechoros, shematan domon umatan dam apesach shoveh. As far as the method of applying the dam to the mizbeach, as you probably know, different sacrifices have different blood application requirements or procedures. The Bechor and the Pesach have the same type of application. The ein teunin tenufas chavos v'shod v'lo smicho nesochem. The Bechor, like the Pesach, do not have the requirements of being waved, that's nufa, or of the chazav ashok parts of the animal, nor do they require hand placing, which is smicha, nor do they require the additional meal offerings, meal and wine offerings, the nesachim. So as far as all other factors are concerned, the Pesach and the Bechor are the same. So we say that if all of them are kohanim, so they will eat the Korban Pesach along with the Bechor. However, they'll have to eat it within the time frame allotted for the Korban Pesach, which is actually different and shorter than the time frame allotted for a Bechor. The Gemara continues. Now, at the top of Omid Beis, the Gemara asks, how can you say that if the people that owned the Korban Pesach were a group of Kohanim, so they sacrifice both and eat them? But the ha ka maisi kodshim lebeis hapsul. This is exactly the problem we mentioned, the restricted time frame that is now going to be imposed. Because I don't know which animal is which. Both of them have to be eaten within the time frame allotted for the Korban Pesach. If you go beyond the time frame, you'd be in violation of Nosar. On the other hand, limiting the time for eating is a prohibition. I'm going to be eating the Bechor within the time frame allotted for a Pesach, and not the standard 2 days and intervening night that you would ordinarily have. So is that not a problem? And yet we're saying if the group is of the group on the Korban Pesach that got mixed up with the Bechor, they are all Kohanim, offer them both as sacrifices. You would declare that which is a Pesach I should get Pesach credit for, and that which is a Bechor I should get Bechor, mitzvahs Bechor with it. But am I not in violation of this? Wouldn't it be better, let's say, to set the two animals aside till they develop a mum, till they develop a blemish, and not treat them as actual sacrifices? Rabbi Shimon Letameh, the Gemara answers that, since we were posing the question to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, the answer lies within understanding what Rabbi Shimon's real reasoning is, or his own opinion is. Rabbi Shimon is consistent with his own other opinions on these matters. The Omar Mavim Kotchel, the Vesa Psul, he has no objection to imposing a time restriction on sacrifices. That's this idea of bring Mavim Kotchel. We bring sanctified animals or sacrifices to a point where they can become Psul. They become Psul as a result of their limited time frame within to eat. The Snan, and here we have an illustration of that. Osham Shinisarev Bishlomim. A korban asham that gets mixed up with a korban shlomim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, what do you do now? You have these two animals. You don't know which is which. So Rabbi Shimon says, and we should point out, an asham you only have 1 day and the following night to eat it, and that's it. as opposed to a shlomim, where you have 2 days and the intervening night during which did it. Rav Shimon says, in such a case where an oshim gets mixed up with a shlomim, Rav Shimon Oimer Yishchatu Betzafon, they are slaughtered in the northern half of the temple courtyard, which is where oshim sacrifices would be slaughtered, as an oshim is a kodshei kodshim, is a high level sanctity type korban, and their place of slaughtering is the northern half of the Azora. So both will be slaughtered there, because I don't know which is which. I therefore have to take into consideration that whatever I'm doing right now might be the Osham. V'yochlu k'chomer shebohem, and you'll eat both of them with the restrictions of the more restricted one, namely just that day that you slaughtered and the immediate following night, and no more time. Omru lo, the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Shimon reacted, ein mevim kochel lebeis apsul. How can you do that? You're not allowed to limit the time in which you would be allowed to eat kochim, and that's what you're doing here. V'rabbanon heichi avdinon, the Rabbanon who say ein mevim kochim lebeis apsul, so what would they suggest when you have a bechor that gets mixed up with a Pesach? Omar Rava, so Rava explains, you know what the Rabbanon say? Namtin lo ad shimumu, you wait until they both develop blemishes, the yavi behema shmeina, and then you take your the money. And again, we have two animals, you sold both of them, you got a higher price for one of them, so you take that amount, and you the lema, and then you say, kol hecha di ise lepesach, tachul ole dehai, whoever the Korban Pesach was, so let that sanctity set upon these monies. The ochil luhu b'toras b'chor ba'amum. And again, we're dealing with the case of the Korban Pesach that got mixed up with the b'chor. And we pointed out earlier that the b'chor doesn't have redemption. So the idea of selling a b'chor and having its sanctity set upon money, that's not an option with regard to the Bechor. On the other hand, you have the Korban Pesach here as well. That does lend itself to redemption when it develops a blemish. So the point here was that after selling these animals and getting money for them, I take the greater amount of money and say that this is for the Korban Pesach, that the Kedusha of the Korban Pesach should be chal on these monies. And I use that money for purchasing a replacement animal. And reading that line again in the Gemara, where you make the declaration, you say, Kol hecho di isei lepesach, wherever the Pesach is, tachul olei dahai, let that sanctity, the Pesach sanctity, set upon this amount of money, the greater amount of money. And you'll bring with that money a korban shlomim, which is the procedure when you have mosar pesach, money left over or that is residual, or money that whose origin is a korban pesach, as is the case here. And then what else do I do? And then you eat the taroives b'toras b'chor ba'amum. We have to explain what does it mean to eat both animals that now have been sold, and the Kedusha of the Pesach goes on to the money, whereas the Bechor, we said before, doesn't lend itself to redemption. What do I do now with these two animals that are left with their blemishes? So the Gemara says they're eaten b'toras Bechor ba'amum. A Bechor has certain restrictions, even though it developed a blemish, nevertheless, and Rashi points these out, it cannot be sold. As Rashi says, you can't slaughter it at a butcher site. An itlis is a, let's say, butcher's market where animals are slaughtered. It's the Bechor cannot be slaughtered there, and it cannot be sold in a butcher shop to other people, and it is not allowed to be weighed out to people who might purchase the meat. It can't be weighed on a scale. that is, if you had recognized which one was the actual Pesach, and you have a Pesach that became a Baal Mum that you had redeemed, then those restrictions wouldn't apply. You can sell them, they can be slaughtered and sold at a butcher site. We're not going to get into the reasons behind these differences, but in this case, since I don't know which is which, so those eating and selling restrictions will apply to both animals. We now start a Mishnah. You take note of the fact that this Mishnah is quite lengthy. It extends till the third line from the bottom of the Gemara. The Mishnah deals with a couple of scenarios. On the side, you see we have topic headings. So the first topic that is dealt with by this Mishnah is a Chabura Shneva Psochim, a group of people that were appointed to a Korban Pesach, that had joined together for eating a Korban Pesach, and their Korban Pesach, the animal, got lost. Before it was offered, it got lost. Later in the Mishnah, there will be an additional discussion concerning Korban Pesachs that got mixed up. Two groups, and each group's Pesach got mixed up, so we can't associate, we don't know which animal is shaykh to which group. How do we solve these situations? The Mishnah begins, Chabura She'ovat Pischa, a group that had been appointed to eat, to slaughter and eat a particular Korban Pesach, well, the animal got lost. V'omru li'echad, and they said to one of the members of their group, go seek it out, Bakesha, seek it out, and slaughter it with us in mind. Slaughter it for us. V'holach u'motza v'shochat. He went and found and slaughtered. V'heim, in the meantime, the rest of the group, in the meantime, they weren't so sure if he would find it, so they took their own initiative, v'heim lokhu v'shochatu. They bought a replacement animal and slaughtered, and here we have to note, they didn't appoint their friend, the one who went out, they didn't appoint him on this replacement animal. Im shaloi nishchat rishon, if the one he found, which namely their original Korban Pesach, was slaughtered first, hu oichel mishalo, he eats from that, v'heim ochlen imo mishalo, and they will eat from that together with him. And the one that they had bought as a replacement will be burnt, because in effect, since they really want to be they want to be appointed to the first one, so their replacement one, having been the second one, is now a Pesach without owners, so the meat is to be destroyed, to be burnt. Ve'im shelohem nishchat rishon, let's say their replacement animal was slaughtered first, heim oichel misham, then they'll eat from that one, v'hu oichel mishalo, and their friend that had been sent out to find the original one will eat from that. After all, he wasn't appointed to the replacement, so he has no connection to that one. V'im eino yodua eizo mehem nishchat rishon, let's say it's not known which was slaughtered first. Oy sheshochtu shneim ke'echad, or both were slaughtered simultaneously. Hu oichel mishalo. Now, he has clarity. You see, he has no doubt regarding which one he was appointed. He was appointed only to the original one, so he eats from that. V'heim einom oichlim imoi. They do not eat on with him on that one. Maybe theirs was slaughtered first. Their replacement one was slaughtered first. And as such, they disconnected, we don't know, but if that had been the case, they would have disconnected themselves from their original one. The Rashi points out, we have a little star to help you find where we are in the Rashi. Take note, by the way, that Rashi appears in two columns. So in this case, we're looking at what ordinarily would have been the Tosfos column. Rashi says, a little more than halfway down the page where you see the star, V'hein einon oichlim imo, they don't eat together with him on that original one. Shema shalom nishchat rishon v'nim shchul mizeh. Maybe theirs really was the first one, and they would have withdrawn from that original one. The Mishnah therefore says that they don't eat together with him. Maybe theirs was the first one. And not only that, v'shelohen, their replacement one, they're not going to eat from that either. Yetzei leveis ha-strefa. it is to go out to be burnt, because maybe the original one was slaughtered first and they withdrew from the replacement one. So they don't eat from that one either, and it's taken out to be burnt. Upturin milasos pesach sheni, and they are exempt from participating in a makeup korban pesach, because either way they have fulfilled their obligation, which with the first one to have been slaughtered. The only problem here is with regard to their ability to eat from it, and we say that is taken care of by Yetz of the Beis HaSreifa, as we illustrated already. We continue now with a second case, Omar Lohen. We're dealing once again with a Chabura She'avad Pischa, as the opening of the Mishnah indicated, and here we have Roman numeral number 2, like we position Roman numeral number 1 after that introduction of a group that lost their Pesach. There in Roman numeral number 1, they turned to one of their friends to seek it out. Here, they are not taking the initiative, but rather Omar Lohen, the Shaliach, we'll call him, he says to them, Im Icharti Tzu V'Shachatu Alai. If I am delayed, so then I want you to slaughter on my behalf, slaughter a Korban Pesach for me. Holach U'motze V'Shachat. He went out and found the original animal and slaughtered it. V'Hein Lokhu V'Shachtu. And they sought a replacement animal and slaughtered. Im shelohen nishchat rishon, if that replacement one that the group found is the first, hein oichlin mishelohen v'ochel imohen, they eat that one, and the friend, or this shaliach, he will eat together with them. After all, in this case, he was appointed with their replacement animal, as was indicated in the opening request of the shaliach, one sent out to find it, or the one that we'll say sent himself out. He took the initiative to go look for it, but he expressed his interest, and they agreed to have him appointed with them. V'im shaloi nishchat rishon. Let's say his was found and slaughtered first. Then who oichel mishaloi? Then he will eat with he'll eat that one. V'hein oichlin mishalohem, and they will eat their replacement one. Let us point out that they did not appoint him to be an emissary to Shecht for them. As far as they were concerned, their animal got lost. He went out to seek it, but in the meantime, they bought a replacement one. So they had disconnected themselves from their original animal. Therefore, if the original animal was slaughtered first, so he eats from that, he didn't disconnect himself from that. However, they will eat from their own, from the replacement one. V'im eino yodua ezo mehem nishchat rishon. Let's say it's not known which one was slaughtered first, o sheshachtu shneim keachod, or they were both slaughtered simultaneously. Hein oichlin mishelohem, they eat from their own. As we indicated before, they disconnected from that original animal, so they're focused on the one that they bought as a replacement. The hu eino ochel imohen, he, however, will not eat with them, because maybe the original one was slaughtered first, and he withdrew from that replacement one that he thought he might be a part of. The shelo yetzei lebeis hasreifa, the one that the original one that he found, that will be burnt, because maybe theirs was slaughtered first, and he had if that were the case, he had withdrawn from that original one that he was so interested in finding. Upoter milasus pesach sheni, but he will be exempt from a pesach sheni, because once again, either way you look at things, he fulfills his Pesach obligation with the first one. We just don't know which one it was. However, he fulfills his obligation with the first one to have been slaughtered. And now we have a third scenario in the case of the Chabura Shavat Pischa. Omar Lohen the Omru Lo. In other words, he told them, I want to be part of your replacement one, if that's the first one to be slaughtered. And they said to him, if you find it, so we want to stick with that original one. So you have here a combination of both parties expressing their interest to be a participant in both sacrifices. Well, what happens then? Oichlin kulon min harishon. They will all eat from the first one to have been slaughtered. The im ein yodua ezo mehen nishchat rishon. And if it's not clear which one was slaughtered first, then shnehem yoytzim lebeis hasreifa. They are both taken out to be burnt, because in this case, we don't know which was the first one, and they are connected. You don't have a situation where anyone has isolated themselves to one of the sacrifices. So being that I don't know which one was sacrificed first, and both are still associated with them, so neither one can be eaten. A fourth case with the same scenario as the Mishnah opened, a group whose Korban Pesach got lost, lo omru lohen velo omru lo. There was no mutual request one made by the other. All that happened is the animal got lost, and someone from the group on his own went to seek it out, and they, the ones that didn't go, they on their own bought a replacement animal. Ein achroyin ze lo ze. They are not responsible for one another, which means we don't care in that case which one was slaughtered first. And the fellow that went out, he eats from the one he found, and those that didn't go out will eat from the one that they bought as a replacement. So that you see here that silence has better results than talking. And that observation, in fact, is something that the Gemara will make in a brisa that we find at the top of Tzadi Tes Omed Aleph, where if you skip ahead, you can see Mikan Omru Chachomim Yofesh Shtike LeChachomim Kavuchom LeTipshin. You see from this that better is silence for wise people than speaking. And if silence is a good advice for wise people, all the more so with regard to fools. And a pasuk from Mishle is quoted there, Shenema Evil Machrish Chacham Yechoshev. If the fool remains silent, people will consider him wise. In other words, not knowing what he has to say will give him better status than him saying something foolish. That observation is made based on that which we see over here. Let's continue now in the Mishnah. Shtei chaburos shenisarvu pischein. Two groups. Here we're not dealing with a loss, but we're dealing with a mix-up. You have group A and their animal, and group B and their animal, and the two animals got mixed up. Eilu moishrin lohen echod v'eilu moishrin lohen echod. You have two groups of people, they're still separate groups, so each group draws unto themselves one of the animals. Again, when the group draws unto themselves animal, they don't know if they're drawing their own animal or the other group's animal. And as we've learned many times in these dapim, in many dapim dealing with Korban Pesach, we see that a Korban Pesach must be owned. It can't be in a state where it has no owners attached to it. There is machlokas, we'll see later on, machlokas tanoim, whether you can be, it has to have an original owner or not. That's a separate issue. But Korban Pesach cannot be left without an owner. With that in mind, we have to deal with the with this problem. If you have a Korban Pesach that you, that's not really yours, it's the other group, so you can't fulfill your obligation with that. Korban Pesach is something that must be appointed to a particular group before it can be processed. So let's continue with our solution. We now have two separate groups, each one having drawn an animal unto themselves. Echod me'elu bo loy etzel elu, ve'echod me'elu bo loy etzel elu. So from each group, one of the members, we're dealing with two people now, stand up and switch sides. So a member of group A goes to group B, and a member of group B goes to group A. So we have, in effect, two groups, each one representing original members, but sitting amongst them is a new fellow that came from the other group. V'kach heim omrim, and thusly they announce, im shelonu hu ha-pesach hazeh, if this is, in fact, if we drew the right animal, the animal that we were owners of, then yodecha meshuchos mishelcha, your hands are withdrawn from what you were originally participant in. They're talking to the new guy. They say, listen, you are now withdrawn from that which you were party to. V'nimneis al shelanu, and you're now joined with ours. V'im shelcha hu ha-pesach hazeh, and if the animal we as a group drew unto ourselves really was attached to you, in other words, you, it's really your original group's animal, so you are the sole representative of true ownership. So if it's really your Pesach, then let's read that again. V'im shelcho hu ha-pesach hazeh, yodenu mishuchos mishelanu, then we are withdrawing from our ownership in what was ours, which is now by the other group. We're withdrawing from that. V'nimneinu al shelcho, and we are now being counted adjoining with you. And likewise, the same thing happens with the other group. They make this declaration. What we're doing over here is we're preserving, we'll say, a sense of attachment between animal and original ownership. The same solution will apply. V'chein chomesh chaburos shel chamisha chamisha v'shel asora asora. The same thing will happen where you have five groups, and each group has five people in it. And that number is very important with regard to the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Tes. So you have five groups representing, and there are five animals. They all got mixed up. And each original group had five members in it. So the five groups will draw, each group will draw an animal unto themselves. One person will stay seated there with the animal, and the other four members of that group will fan out and join each person, one of the remaining groups, the other four groups. And that is repeated regarding each group. So you have, with regard to the five groups, in each case, one of the five people will remain with that particular animal that they drew, and so on and so forth. And the same scenario that we described with regard to the two groups will apply over here. It's just that there's a tremendous switching around of people that takes place. And the same thing is with regard to 10 groups, provided each group had 10 members in each group. What are we accomplishing by that? We're accomplishing by ensuring that there is a chance of an original member being there. Not just a chance, we're guaranteeing that there is an original member there. Either it's the person that remained in his place and didn't switch over to another group, or it's one of the other four people that came here from the four other groups. One of them is definitely an original member. And that point, as we said before, is a machlokes tanoim, and as a result of the Mishnah here not having any name, we have a Stam Mishnah that represents that insistence on an original member being there. As the Mishnah goes on, we said that even if you have a group, 10 groups, if each group had 10 members in it, Moshelahem Echad Mikol Chabura V'Chabura V'Chein Hein Omrim, and they say thusly, like we saw above. Shnayim Shinis Arvu Pischehem. Two people, and their Korban Pesachs got mixed up. So we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven takes an animal, and Shimon takes an animal. We have a problem here, is that we don't know if Reuven took his own animal. Maybe he took Shimon's animal. And Shimon took Reuven's animal. So what are they going to do? Zeh Moshech. Now here the Gemara gives a solution for this. Zeh Moshech loy echad, v'zeh Moshech loy echad. Reuven takes to join him, and following Rashi's example, Reuven takes Levi to join him, and Shimon takes Yehuda to join him. These are Levi and Yehuda, two new guys from the shuk, from the market, from the outside. Parenthetically, Levi and Yehuda, these new guys, are not original owners. That is a point to ponder on as the Gemara will do so on Daf Tzadi Tes. Another point, we mentioned it before, but we're going to mention it again. What we're trying to do with what we're about to see is we're avoiding a situation where a Korban Pesach will be left unowned. That, everyone agrees, is out of bounds. You can't have a Pesach that's left unowned. So we have Reuven and Shimon, each one taking an animal, not sure if it's theirs. We have Reuven now partnering up, drawing in Levi to be his partner, and Yehuda and Shimon drawing in Yehuda to be his partner. That's what the Mishnah means when it says, Zeh mimana imoy echad min hashuk, v'zeh mimana imoy echad min hashuk. Reuven partners, takes from the shuk, from the market, he brings in an outsider, he brings in Levi, and Shimon brings in Yehuda. Zeh bo etzel zeh, v'zeh bo etzel zeh. And now, Reuven goes over to where Shimon was with the animal that he drew, and Shimon goes over to where Reuven was. V'kach heim omrim. And thusly, they say, Im sheli hu pesach zeh, if this is my korban, if the one I'm sitting next to right now is really mine, then yodecha meshuchos mishelcha v'nim neisal sheli, then you are withdrawn from that which you thought you were appointed to, and you're now going to join me. V'im shelcha who, before we go on, because this might sound a bit confusing, but what just happened when we said that Reuven and Shimon switched places, what in effect took place is Reuven left Levi, his friend that he brought from the shuk. Reuven now goes and joins up with Yehuda, and Shimon leaves Yehuda and goes and joins up with Levi. So Reuven is now sitting next to Yehuda, and he says this. He says, listen, if this animal that Shimon originally drew is really mine, so if this is mine, says Reuven, then you, Yehuda, are withdrawn, im shelihu pesach zeh, then yodecha meshuchos mishelcha, v'nimneis al sheli, then you are withdrawn from that which you originally were partnering up with, and you're together with me. V'im shelcha hu pesach zeh, and if this is really yours, then yodai meshuchos misheli, v'nimneisi al shelcha, then I am joining with you. So Reuven says this to his new partner Yehuda, and he says that, you know, if this one is really mine and the other one was your partner's, so you are withdrawing from that and you're going to be together with me on this. And if this really was your partner's and yours, so I'm withdrawn from mine and I'm together with you. So what we've accomplished here is we are not leaving a Pesach unowned. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue now with the Gemara, a Tanaic source. Omar Lahem, the Omru Lo, Ochel Min Harishon. If the two groups said to one another that we want to be together with you and you be together with us, then the first one to be shechted, and this goes back, we should point out, we erroneously just said two groups. This goes back to the case of the opening of the Mishnah where a chabura lost their Korban Pesach. And one of them was sent out to find it, and each, the emissary, said to them that, if yours are shechted first, I want to be part of yours. And they said to him, if the original one is shechted first, then we want to be part of that one and not our replacement one. So the rule is, the first one to be shechted is what they will all eat from. Lo omar lohen, velo omru lo. If neither one said to the other, just that, as we said before, when we were learning the Mishnah, one of the group members saw that their animal got lost, so he took the initiative to go look for it. He wasn't interested in being part of the law of the replacement one. And they weren't interested in what he was going out to find. They went ahead and bought their own replacement one. So everyone remained quiet. So, Einon Achroim Zelozeth, and they have no responsibility one for the other. They become independent entities. The one guy that went out to find the lost one, and the guys that remained behind and bought a replacement one. Mikan omru chachamim, from this we learn, yofesh shtika lechachamim, silence is better, as was the case of omar lo omru lo omar lohen velo omru lo, that situation where no one said anything to the other, that had better results than the case where they each one said to the other. And that was particularly manifest in a case where it wasn't known which one was really shechted first. So, in the case where it wasn't known which was shechted first, in the case where the group had said to the emissary and the emissary had said to the group to express their mutual interests, no one is going to eat from it and everything is taken out to be burnt. Whereas if no one spoke up, just one guy took the initiative to find the original one, so that's the only one he's associated with, and the group wasn't interested in his going out. They are associated only with the replacement one, and if it's not clear which one was shechted first, so both will be eaten. And this is what we say here, that better is the silence than the speech. And if this is true with regard to wise people, then silence is all the more so advisable for the tipshin, for the fool. Kal v'chomer l'tipshin, shenemar, evil machrish, chacham yechoshev. If the fool who remains silent, so he is considered a wise man. As we continue in the Gemara, we're going to be learning about points that we emphasized while we were learning the Mishnah. Shnayim shenisarvu pischehem. We're continuing, as you can see, on the third line from the top of Tzadi Tes Omen Aleph. Two people whose psochim got mixed up, Reuven and Shimon, and as you will recall, Reuven took Levi to partner up with him, and Shimon took Yehuda to partner up with him. And we saw the declarations that are made. Lemo masnisin de lo kributa. Let us say, this is a question, it will be rejected though, it'll be a rejection of this suggestion later, but let us say that the Mishnah does not reflect the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Desanya, and the issue that's dealt with right now is there a necessity of having an original owner in the case of a Korban Pesach mix-up? Is it important that an original owner remains? And we saw in the Reuven Shimon Korban mix-up where Reuven goes to the Korban that Shimon had drawn to himself, and he sits by it, and he says, if this is my Korban, then you, Yehuda, are withdrawn from the other one that you joined up with later on together with Shimon. You're withdrawn from that, and you're together with me, because this is my carbon, I'm an original owner. However, if the animal that I am now sitting next to really was not mine, but it was shayach to Shimon, together with whom you, Yehuda, had joined up with, not as an original owner, then I'm withdrawn from my animal, and I'm together with you on this animal. But you, by the way, you though, are not an original owner of this, and I certainly am not an original owner of this. So this idea of not being an original owner of the korban seems to be okay. Now that would not then conform to the approach of Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya, the Pasuk says, V'im yim'at habayis miyos miseh. Pasuk in the context of a korban Pesach. And now the drosha is, Malamei, this teaches us, Shemismatim v'hoichin. People can withdraw from a korban Pesach to join up with another korban Pesach if they should so desire. Ilbovatshe echod midnei chabura kayom. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This reduction process can take place provided there remains one original member that doesn't withdraw. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ubavad Shelo Yanichenu Yanichoi Es HaPesach Kamos Shehu. Rabbi Yossi says withdrawal can take place, but only up to a point that it's not left with a situation of non-ownership. So that according to Rabbi Yossi, you can have people withdrawing, new people joining up, all the original people will have withdrawn, provided prior to that point some replacement members are there, so that at the end of the day you're left with no original members. That's as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned. But in our Reuven Shimon scenario, we saw in effect something like Rabbi Yossi and not that which Rabbi Yehuda was insistent upon. So is our Mishnah therefore not like Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and here's a very interesting answer. Afilu Teimo Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah can in fact conform to Rabbi Yehuda, who insists on an original member being there. However, there's another rule that we haven't seen today, that is, that will show how our Mishnah can be like Rabbi Yehuda. Kiva Yomar Rabbi Yehuda, since Rabbi Yehuda has been known to say, Ein Shoichten Es HaPesach Al HaYochid. You cannot shecht the Korban Pesach if there's a single owner. So in our Mishnah, remember we spoke about Reuven being the owner of one animal and Shimon being the owner of the other animal and they got mixed up? That situation was not acceptable where Reuven was a sole owner. So when Reuven, true, after the mix-up this happened, but when Reuven brought in Levi from the Shuk, Levi was in effect a potential original owner. Even though at the time Reuven bought it, he was buying it by himself, he had to have someone else come in with him. So since Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Shechten Sapesach Al HaYochid, May Ikora, from the very outset, from the point that Reuven bought his animal, from that point, the Nuya Achrina Bahadei Koi, it was, Koi means it was standard, it was destined, Lem Nuya to appoint Achrina, someone else, Bahadei, together with him. And as a result of that, the joining in of these people, Levi and Yehuda respectively, they're joining in, Uke Echod Mibnei Chabur Adomi, they are viewed as original members. So that when Reuven leaves the korban that he drew after the mix-up to go to the other one, and he went to go and join up with Yehuda in our example, Yehuda in a sense was an original member. And likewise Levi was an original member of the other animal. The Omar Rav Ashi, Masnisanami Daiko, careful reading of the Mishnah shows that our Mishnah really is like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, that our Mishnah reflects the idea of needing an original member. Dikotoni, the Mishnah gave as one of its examples, toward the very end of the Mishnah, we have an arrow indicating where you can find this quote back on Sadi Ches Amid Beis. The Mishnah gave as an example, V'chein Chomesh Chaburos Shel Chamisho Chamisho. Five groups, if you recall. Five groups, five animals got mixed up. And each group had five members in it. And we point out shel chamisha in avol shel chamisha varbo lo. The Mishnah did not give an example of, say, five animals with five groups, and one of the groups had four members in it. Why did the Mishnah not use that example? Lav mishum delo paish chad mibnei chaburo gabei. Because in the solution, what we were looking for, in each one of the five groups, one of the original members remains there, doesn't go to join one of the other groups. So in the example of the Mishnah, five groups, each group having specifically five members in it and not one of the group having four members in it, this reflects the need for having an original member in each group. Shema Amino, this is conclusive. And now Rashi points out, because if our Mishnah were like Rabbi Yossi in the mix-up of five Pesach sacrifices and had five groups, you could have had in the model, you could have had one of the groups, let's say, with four people in it, and each and before they started to fan out to the other korbanos, they could have appointed someone from the shuk to be a representative, so to speak. He would have been a new member, not an original member, and conducted the Mishnah solution from that point onwards. But that wasn't the case. The Mishnah didn't suggest a case of a group having just four members and then bringing in a new fellow from the shul, showing us that our Mishnah is sensitive to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, making our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda in regarding this point of having Echad Mibailim HaRishonim. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.